You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning, we have a special guest, the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, the MP for Bandar Tun Razak, and also the ADUN for Pelabuhan Klang, Yang Berhormat Tan Sri Datuk Sri Abdul Khalid Ibrahim. Tan Sri, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're on the media tour trying to comment on the water scenario. The country right now is being administered by the Water Services Industry Act, or WASIA 2006, and this issue has been dogged by the Selangor residents in managing the water supply. Under your administration, the All or Nothing Agreement was meant for the state government to actually acquire the concession of the four companies, namely Splash, Abbas, Puncak Niaga,
and Splash.
After a few years of failure of negotiating, not all, three were in the bag, but Splash was the issue that was remaining. There's some allegations that has been made by your successor, Yang Amat Berhormat Menteri Besar of Selangor, Datuk Sri Azmin. He claims that the Selangor state government under your administration never offered the 2.9 billion ringgit equity takeover for the water concessionaire Splash. Is this allegation true?
In order to appreciate the complexity of this restructuring process, let me bring the listener to why Water Industry Act was incorporated. The idea was, I must give credit to the late Tun Lim Kin Yek. He found out that a lot of privatization agreements signed by the government of Malaysia then were lopsided in the sense that it was broken up into many, many units in order to give business to contractors as well as water operators. So he wanted to build up a holistic unit for every state, because when you have a water operation, it includes three things: taking the raw water, cleaning up, there's a treatment plant, and distributing it. If you break up all the three, then you didn't have this so-called economies of scale. So what I did in 2006, this act was incorporated and agreed to be implemented. I came with Pakatan at that time in 2008, and I saw the best opportunity to implement the vision and the scheme so that Selangor state government in full control of its water operation. That's the idea. Is full control means we operate efficiently, we act with authority, and translate it into the best water prices for the population, and also an expansion situation where we do not need to worry about the future of water supply in this country.
The biggest comment right now from the UMNO opposition party, which is in Selangor, they say that you cancelled Langat 2. Can you give us a little story on that Langat 2?
The story was the privatization was signed very crudely, if I can use the word, gives concessioners so much power. They just unilaterally in that agreement increase the water prices.
Yeah, they have in their concession. You can increase every two years.
But when I came in, I cannot swallow that, because they will start saying, "Hey, the Selangor state government have to abide for this." I cannot also blame the federal government because they have signed the agreement. What I did was, I said to the federal government, you cannot implement the water supply scheme, that is what you call the Langat 2, the water from Pahang to Kuala Langat, until we sort out the restructuring of this.
Tan Sri No says that it can be done simultaneously in your interview.
It can be done simultaneously. But the fact that I asked for simultaneously, they wanted to push the Langat 2 ahead of the restructuring.
So to be clear, you are okay with them running simultaneously this project, the Langat 2 and also the reorganization of the concessions?
But in fact, I use the excuse that I cannot approve the Langat 2 until I am sure that the restructuring being done. Why? If I don't put the restructuring in place, Sabah and Puchak Niaga has the agreement to increase the tariff.
In their defense, they have to remain commercially viable. That's the reason why.
No. That is the reason why I said when we take over, the commercial viability is not an issue. If I allow the prices increase, they will continue to do that without giving me a chance to say I couldn't let you spend 8 or 9 billion worth of work until you sort out my water pricing and take over.
The four companies that is in the context of discussion includes Sabah, Puchak Niaga, Splash and Abas. As mentioned earlier, Sabah, Puchak Niaga and Abas has been done. It's a done deal. Let's talk about the acquisition of these companies.
The process is quite complicated. First, the reason for this, in spite of myself talking aloud and very forceful, actually the state of Selangor do not have the fund to make the acquisition. That's
the reality of things.
The reality of it. But fortunately, I have this act behind me. The act wants to make sure the federal government support the state in its effort to do the restructuring. The second thing is,
we're talking about the water services industry.
Water services,
right? Okay, ataupun Akta Industri Perkhidmatan Air 2006.
2006. That's the picture. If you read that, it includes also the provision to setting up of PAAB, Pengurusan Air Selangor dan Suruhanjaya Perkhidmatan Air.
SPAN and PAP.
PAP is the one, the vehicle through the Treasury, the Ministry of Finance, that providing the financing for the acquisition. In the term, they call it asset light. That means PAP will buy all the assets of the concessioner and pass the operation to the state. Of course, they will charge the cost of borrowings and so forth.
The money here we're talking about is the 9.6 billion ringgit funds that has been allocated to take over these four, the equities of the company. I understand this cash payment is to be split into two separate segments.
Yeah. Okay.
The equity purchase and the debt settlement.
Let me explain first. Initially, this is the stages. Initially, we are asked by the federal government, the first thing is the state must make the offer. We make the offer to the four concessionaires. The first stage we make an offer, we follow the rules, the PAP rule. The PAP rule is on asset value. That is the one that I use it in order to get the pricing. But at that time, our pricing for the total of the purchasers was 5.7 billion. Of course, all of them decided to reject. So we work out our numbers. But you must remember, when I work out our numbers, we must make sure the total cost is very carefully calculated. Because the higher is the cost, we may have to pay with a higher tariff. But at the back of my mind, we cannot afford to charge higher tariff because we think we can manage it with the lower tariff, provided the cost of acquisition is at around 9.5 to 10 billion. We work our numbers backward.
Yeah, so some of this includes non-compounded ROE or return on equity of 12% per annum.
Per annum. Then I make a second offer. I'll explain
to
you.
So the first offer, let's recap. The first offer was 5.7 billion. And then we move on?
We move on in 25th of June 2009. I make a second offer to all this with the blessing of PAP. Because PAP is going to finance it. So I made the total offer is 9.218 billion. So at that time, Abas and Splash accepted the offer, but Sabas and Puncha didn't accept the offer. Why? Because they think they want a higher offer. But because my deal with PAP say all or nothing, because who is going to pay? PAP. If PAP says all or nothing, it's all or nothing. And that letter is only a 14 days later. Since two rejected, the whole deal was nullified. Then we try again because there is a pressure by the federal government. They wanted the Langat Dua to operate. Then on 2010, we offer again. The total offer was 9.227. And that offer was also rejected. But frame, because we are in the rush, we are under pressure. But we come up with a solution. No point to offer only the asset. Why don't we break up into equity as well as liabilities? And my idea at that time, if we can get two or three of these companies, they offer their shares 100% ownership, then we can work already. Because the idea of all or nothing cannot be implemented. And as you have said, based on the equity, is 12% rate or rate. It was in the arrangement, in the agreement too.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, I have with me the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, Tan Sri Datuk Sri Khalid Ibrahim. Up next, we'll be talking more about the Selangor woes on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 on The Breakfast Grill this morning, we have the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, Tan Sri Datuk Sri Khalid Ibrahim. Now, of course, that 9.65 billion is being shared accordingly by these four companies. And let's put it this way, this discussion this morning is simply about splash. On 18th November 2016, there has been a media statement issued by the Selangor Water Panel, or Panel Air Selangor, where the signatories include Tony Pua, Charles Santiago, William Leong, Haslin Hassan, the Adun for Tanjung Sepat, as well as Dr. Zul. They say that the panel penilai air is going to deal with this splash, and they blame you for not concluding that discussion. Why do they blame you for not concluding that discussion?
They should be more interested to help me to reduce the price of offer. The higher the price will impact the population. I thought these are the people who are fighting for the people. That baffled me. Of course, Pakatan Rakyat has changed. There is no more Rakyat but Harapan. So that says a lot about what the team was all about. I expect them today to look at the calculation, whether we do a similar basis, whether it is a fair calculation or not. And to us, it was a fair calculation. Then they have to find out, we can already operate with the three except for one. What are the options that you want to get splashed? The option is the federal government has also the power to acquire the asset of splash.
This acquisition power is contingent upon the timeline of the agreement. And here, the Water Panel of Selangor says that the panel has been informed by the Ministry of Technology and Energy, KETA, gives them a timeline of 6 months. From right now. Do you think that within these 6 months...
It's a question of that price, because the three has already been paid. Why don't they explore the possibility of asking the federal government to take over at a cheaper price? What does a cheaper price mean?
Okay, let's talk about the price, right? Yeah. The splash price acquisition. The equity portion is 250 million ringgit, of which the debt portion is 1.584 billion ringgit, making it a total of about 1.8 billion ringgit. The initial capital splash has is about 400 million ringgit. Because of profits, they've paid dividends of about 725 million ringgit in total. They have to deduct some of the dividends that they have made, and this 725 minus 400 comes to about that 250 million ringgit equity. Now, that's half the story. The other half is that the total offer made by the Selangor government to splash was 2.6 billion ringgit, or 2.559 to be precise. And the offer was made in 2009. The caveat, as you mentioned just now, was not exceeding 9.2 billion, right? Yeah. So the total offer right now is about 9.6 billion ringgit. Are these numbers correct?
Okay, yes. Your statement, splash started with 400 million. So we work out 12% every year. For that 400 million, we get 576 million. That means you add in 476, because you put a 12% calculation. It's a standard calculation. It's you have 976 million. But Splash has taken out a dividend of 725 million. And therefore, if you minus 976, minus 725 million, you get 250 million. But the way you should look at it, not like that. Equity, we pay splash, apart from that 700 million, we pay 250. We pay all the liabilities at that offer, 1.584 billion.
This is to take over the existing loans or debts. Yeah.
And then it was 1.8. Plus the dividend that you have paid out is 2.5 billion. It's a fair deal because we are using the same formula for everybody else.
You urge that the conversation on the splash takeover to be discussed in the day one.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the Menteri Besar, Azmin, was saying that he made an allegation. I offer 2.9 billion for splash.
And that's not true.
That's, of course, on the in their letter, we did offer. It's the second part of the offer. But it was cancelled. Yeah, it was cancelled. There is no obligation from both parties to accept.
In the water panel statement, they say that when you were holding the Menteri Besar office, many of these dealings, the negotiation was not taken to the Dewan. Why must we take it now?
That's the reason why people don't read the document. There is a white paper on the Dewan. There was a white paper describing the whole thing. Of course, if you don't understand, you can refer back.
Yes.
There is a white paper. That white paper was produced in June 2013.
So this statement by the water panel is unfair, in your opinion?
I think political. I think there is an excuse for that. They are no longer Pakatan Harapan. They are Harapan because they wanted a certain bonus for certain work to be done.
They say that you offered the equity, that 250 million, but the panel has identified that the equity value that was written in 2009 was far higher, which is 1.579 billion. They claim that there is a discrepancy. Initial value, 250 million, but what they found out was 1.579 billion.
No, the calculation is all open up. You must remember, when I explained to you, for the second offer, it is based on asset and liabilities. It has nothing to do with equity. It's only on the fourth offer, it's something to do with equity. If you use that calculation, then you cannot incorporate it into the fourth offer. You can't, because that calculation has nothing to do with equity. Equity is because the nature of our offer in the previous cases cannot be implemented, because if any one of them refuse to do it, we cannot implement it. So that's the reason why we strategically place so that these shares will be acquired one by one. That means
piecemeal instead of all or nothing.
All nothing.
Tan Sri, you're the Adun of Labuan Klang. Why do you not attend the Selangor sitting?
I attended. And some of their statement was not fair. Just because I was not there doesn't mean you cannot implement the water restructuring.
You're quoted by TV1 saying that this is an operational matter. It's inconsequential whether or not you're present or
absent. And don't
make
an excuse that if you cannot do it, if you simply couldn't do it. I was very happy to offer. I explained to you an incident, the previous day one sitting. I was trying to take the opportunity to explain to the Dewan that we have to be very careful in our dealings in the acquisition of that. What did the Menteri Besar did? He violently asked me not to talk about the subject and refused to allow me to do it. Unfortunately, the speaker followed him. I'm not from the group who wanted to make the Dewan a shouting man. I just kept quiet and sit down. But I felt that I think he doesn't understand. I was hoping that he will read all the documents that we have done, because including the agreements and all that.
Just to be clear, you're saying that this is beyond him. The negotiation of the water is beyond the comprehension of the Menteri Besar.
Looks like. Because in my interview with the Straits Times, the new Straits Times, I told if he feels that he couldn't understand the
The intricacies of the negotiation. Yeah.
Then he should get.
Then this is no longer this is no longer an operational matter. Then the way you say it in interview one, this is a state interest.
Yes, but
if, but wouldn't your presence in the day one perhaps?
No, presence in the day one. If you don't allow me to speak, presence in the day one means what? I think I don't want to be used in the day one rakyat or in the day one negeri. The power to determine who can speak, who cannot speak, is not the Menteri Besar. It is...
The speaker.
That's it is the reason why at one stage, I want to correct the situation. I ask the speaker to allow me to give me time, to give me the floor, so that I can explain it. If not, it will be just like... unfortunately, my Dewan Rakyat will be the same. It will be a shouting match to say who is right, who is wrong. Rather than being technical, I can see when our discussion about it is being technical, I also offer to attend a CELCAT hearing.
Okay.
So that was easier. I can explain to you, I can bring up my document, they bring up their documents, and we look at it.
Yeah, so CELCAT is, of course, Jawatan Kuasa Pilihan Khas on the keupayaan, kebertanggungjawapan dan ketelusan
Selangor. So, everything. And I hear to that concept. I was the one who initiated the concept anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, of course, the request for you to have this conversation at the CELCAT hearing is turned down.
Turned down because, unfortunately, it was initiated by the UMNO group.
Okay. What about the fact that you hastily signed the agreement when you were on the way out from the office? What's your comment on that?
No, that was not.
They say that it was hastily.
That was not.
I would like to underline the word hastily.
That's not. And secondly, who signed the final agreement? It was after me. There was a supplementary agreement.
Which the existing administration signed. So you're saying that Yang Amat Berhormat Datuk Sri Azmin actually signed on the supplementary agreement.
Yeah, and to accept all the condition.
So he is as liable to this agreement as you are.
He should have read all the agreement. In fact, yeah.
Two words that actually destroyed your political career called Kajang Move.
Yeah.
They basically installed the president of PKR as the ADUN. One thing led to another, resulting in you leaving the office. How's life as an independent MP right now?
I'm very glad. I should say in Malay, I'm bersyukur. I am very happy because the reason why I started my career, apart from the Merchant Bank, I worked for PNB and I was trained to be honest and proper and trust.
Okay, let's talk about honest, proper and trust. No. On your way out, the existing administrator, Yang Amat Berhormat Datuk Seri Azmin Ali, admitted to 2.6 million ringgit golden handshake that you have made out to your aides on your last day in office. He says this is an abuse of power. Is this an abuse of power?
No. We are talking about a voluntary separation scheme. We are talking about 2 million over an asset of 200 million. That's a fair deal because people are not going to be employed until now.
So 14 staff had quit under the VSS, of voluntary separation scheme,
including
former MBI CEO Faiqa Hussein and also Raja Shahrin, Raja Uthman and many others.
Many others.
This case is now at the courts. What is your expectation on that?
Well, I think it's for the court to say whether it is a fair deal or not a fair deal.
Right? Okay.
And the Menteri Besar has got the power to make sure that the implementation of it is proper.
Datuk Sri Azmin says that the staff were fired. They did not resign from their post and therefore they're not entitled to their gratuity.
No, how can you fire people? You just cannot just fire people. The Menteri Besar leave his job. Okay, that's fair now. I could have left them all there. If you fire somebody, you have also to pay the compensation. That's the same thing. You might as well do the voluntary, just like Mars, like everybody in the corporate world, they do the voluntary separation scheme. But the voluntary scheme must have a slightly better offer than the normal 3 months or 6 months payment.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, I have with me the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, Tan Sri Datuk Sri Khalid Ibrahim. Up next, we'll be talking more on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9 on the Breakfast Grill this morning. We have the former Menteri Besar of Selangor, Tan Sri Datuk Sri Khalid Ibrahim. Tan Sri, what do you think is hampering the negotiation right now by the Selangor government?
I think the Selangor state government must work out to resolve the issue of privatization, which were unfairly initiated by the federal government in the previous year. I did say in Parliament, privatization done by the government of Malaysia at that time was biased in favor of the concession.
Let's rewind your corporate life. Your corporate life did not start, or your or public life did not start in 2008. In fact, you were in charge of many interesting organizations back when you were still a strapping lad. Yeah. And this includes the Dawn Ray.
Yeah, but I started as a merchant banker. And then I joined PNB as investment and manager and also the CEO.
Worth noting that you were very, very young at that point in time.
Yeah. And also at that time, I worked with the team to do the acquisition of Guthrie Corporation. That is what the Dawn Raid is all about.
Let's talk about the Dawn Raid. The Dawn Raid or Guthrie Dawn Raid of 1981. Yeah. 1981 is a year that I wasn't even born yet.
Yeah, that's
let's,
right.
Let's bring things into perspective.
Yeah, that's all right. At that stage, we were planning the National Unit Trust, Amanah Saham National. But we were given shares allocated from the Ministry of Trade in order to create the portfolio of that shares. But we still have a problem of trying to get more and more shares in order to anticipate the demand of the Malay community at that time. So we saw this is an opportunity to take over Guthrie Corporation. The reason why we were able to talk about taking over the Guthrie Corporation because the asset value of Guthrie Corporation at that time were based on plantation value. That means the plantation land were calculated around $20,000 to $30,000 per acre. But when we look at the Guthrie plantation, they are all around the Klang Valley. That means the former Shah Alam and all that. But when we start incorporating what they call the property value of that, we saw the tangible value of Guthrie Corporation is far higher than the recorded value.
Such is the captures the imagination of many. There's even a story that is going to be made out of this particular episode. It's called Dawn Raid, The Hands That Rattled the Queen, where we have local actors trying to star the show. This, of course, led you to become the CEO of PNB and later on CEO of Guthrie.
Yeah.
This shows that you have background in corporate restructuring. Do you think that the current administration do not have that kind of background in corporate restructuring?
I should say so. But first, let me say, during my work trying to restructure the state while being a Menteri Besar, and then the staff of the team that, while doing the restructuring, approached me to say, Tan Sri, can we get a merchant banker to help us, or an investment banker to help us to complete this restructuring? I didn't say much, why don't you explore, including the big name is JP Morgan or Goldman Sachs, because we are talking about billions of transactions. And they came back to me, to Mantuksa, and said, yes, they are very interested. And then asked, how much is the fee? The fee is about 20 million ringgit. Then I told them, ask them to keep their word. Hmm. I will be your advisor because I wanted to save the 20 million ringgit. But what I'm saying to say is that if you do not understand this, you might as well get an advisor.
Tan Sri, let's talk about the democracy of the country. Many of the mature democracies around the world, once these leaders leave office, they don't normally comment on the existing administration. I can quote a few names, Tony Blair, David Cameron. They have left the administration of number 10 Downing Street. They don't comment on Theresa May's government. In the US, it's the same thing. We saw George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush. They don't comment on Obama's administration. It's not seen here in Malaysia. We see Tun Mahathir still commenting quite aggressively for that. We see you commenting building on the existing...
No. Let's be very fair to everybody. I'm still Pelabuhan Klang Assemblyman. I'm still also Bandar Tun Razak MP. Parliamentarian.
Yeah.
And I did say, if there is a general election, everybody will have to leave their post. I will not be contesting these elections. So
just to be clear, you won't run in these upcoming elections?
No. That's what I say. I make a point that during my stay as this member of a state assembly, I must protect the state. When I'm member of parliament, I must protect my constituency. I wanted to resign from all this, but I was advised, you can't do that. It is unfair because at that state, you are voted by the people. For the Menteri Besar, it is my party that put me in.
Have you been courted by political parties from PAS, from UMNO?
Quite many, but I told them it's time for me to be independent of politics because I thought I have given my national service to all that. But I find there are other social and welfare jobs that can be undertaken without getting into the dirty hands of politics.
In your estimation, are we going to be facing a general election soon?
The gossip and also the indication looks like the federal government may want to have an earlier election than 2018. So looks like next year could be the best possibility.
Tan Sri, very quickly, we're going to end this conversation this morning. Where's your position on Undang-Undang 355, the private members bill presented by the past president, Hadi?
I supported the bill.
Why?
Why? Okay. This bill has nothing to do with the non-Muslim. It's only for the Muslim.
Even if it's for the Muslim, let's talk about the Muslims.
No, but this bill, after the revision, you see, when Tuan Guru Haji Hadi presented this bill, he wanted a Sharia law to be fully incorporated, including the discussion on hudud. But it cannot be done. It cannot be done.
Hudud, so, implementing hudud.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there's no there's no floodgate that will lead to hudud.
So what, as a Muslim, I appreciate that he wanted to improve the Sharia law. He wanted to improve it. He wanted to make sure that the idea of Sharia law continue to be propagated. Therefore, the current law within the Sharia thing is already there. That means the criminal thing. So after the discussion, he agreed that we just extend the power of the Sharia court to a higher level. That's all. To a higher level. That's all it's all about. From, say, you can charge people for 1,000.
And see, there's also whipping, you know, up to 30 times, according to this particular news release.
No, but the civil court is also have whipping. It is not uncommon. But, of course, that is subject to the criminal issues that somebody need to be whipped because of the criminal act he has done. It has to be done. But there is no such thing as... There is no difference between a civil court. If you allow the civil court to make a judgment on whipping, why didn't you allow the Sharia court to do that?
Muslim MPs are opposing this. I'm not talking about the opposition, actually. I'm talking about members from the Barisan National Coalition. This includes Datuk Nancy Shukri. This includes Datuk Rani from PBB.
But I'm sorry. I can come back and explain to you very clearly. They were talking about the hudud and the first presentation by Tuan Guru Haji Hadi. But after the second one, when it was just presented, after the second one, I think people should look at it really. Because we have Sharia courts now, but the power of Sharia court now is so low, so even...
It governs family matters, that's what it is.
Yeah, it governs family matters. It's only session court.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Tan Sri Dato' Sri Abdul Khalid Ibrahim, the former Menteri Besar of Selangor. Tan Sri, thanks for joining us on the grill.
My pleasure.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.